Good Sunday morning. First day of fall. It feels great outside. This weekend felt great. Anybody agree with that? Amen. I thought it was great. If you went to the fair, it was great weather. If you haven't gone, you're going today. Great weather again. We want to welcome everybody today. If you're a visitor, we have some visitors with us today and some guests with us today. And so we hope that this place is warm and friendly and inviting today, because that's what we want each and every day. Before I start and get into the message, and our message today is going to be, it's building blocks, and it's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles there with you today, you can go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're heading. As you do that, I just want to take a minute to pray over our nation, pray over our government. We had some issues with the Navy Yard shooting and those things, and just a lot of violence all around. So I just want to take a minute today to pray for that specifically. A lot of people, again, feel that there's attacks on our government, on our country, and those things. And so if you would, as you're turning to 1 Corinthians, take just a minute and let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just ask you to watch over our great nation, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that we have here to praise and worship you openly. We ask you to be with those families that were affected by the shooting this past week in the Navy Yard. Lord, be with those victims. Be with those that survived. Lord, that those that were away from it by mere inches or feet, Lord. We ask you to be with them. Give them comfort. Give our nation comfort as we constantly look up and say, why? Why did these things happen? We ask you to be with our government as they just deal with the ongoing things all around us, this entire world, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and understanding how to deal with these things properly, watching out for all those that have interest in that. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 150. And the gist of this is, let all things praise the Lord. And I think we did a great job of praising the Lord today. Amen. Psalm 150 is the last psalm in the book of Psalms. There's 150. It is a great one. I find it fascinating, interesting, and awesome that it ends with a call for us to praise. Psalm 150, verse 1 through 6 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. That psalm is about praising, and it's not just praising. Oh, praise God for my new car. Praise God for this. I didn't get a new car. I'm just saying that that's sometimes what we do. Praise God for this home. Praise God for my job. This is focusing on praising the Lord, just praising God, not for, just praising God. And every now and then I think we need to slow down and just praise God, not for, praise God for my clothes, praise God. No, praise you, God. You are a great God, and we just praise you. And there's four things this psalm focuses on. It's praising God, it says, in his sanctuary, in heaven. I know God is everywhere, but we always tend to want to say, God, come right here. And we're called to praise God in his sanctuary, in heaven. Second thing is to praise him for his mighty acts. That's one of the four things I talked about at the beginning of the year I want us to focus on. Recognize and meditate on God's wondrous works. As we talked about the masterpiece a couple weeks ago. Ooh, how many have been challenged by that to look at people as a masterpiece and say, oh man, okay, those people that just cut me off, they're God's masterpiece, apparently a work in progress. I've heard some of you say, I've met a lot of his masterpieces that aren't quite finished yet or that he's redoing. So that says, praise him for his mighty acts, all his wondrous works. Praise him with all instruments. And then finally, everything with breath, praise Him. The very breath that He gave us, we need to give back to Him with praise, filled with praise. Today's message is called Building Blocks. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're starting in verse 5. And it says in verse, we're going to read 5 through 8 at first, and it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one?" I'm going to read that part of that real quick. "But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." And Paul is visiting the church in Corinth, a church that he started, and then he went off to do other ministry work, and he left it in the hands of Apollos. And they were having some struggles there, and he came back, and people were talking about, well, who did all this work? Let me put it a different way. Apollos came in and did ministry after Paul, who started the church in Corinth, left. Jack Eldred started Prayer Faith World Outreach. Then he went on to do something different. Adam and Eric are here right now. Somebody will be here afterwards when we move on. Who gets the credit for that? Neither. Neither. But God, who gave the increase, gets the credit for that. It's not about Jack Eldred. It's not about Adam Dilley. It's not about Eric Ferguson. It is about God. God giving the increase for doing the work in His place, in His house, in His body right here. God gave the increase, and God will continue to give the increase. Nobody else. We just came doing our work. It goes much further than just the pastors of the church, be it here or be it Paul and Apollos. This scripture is about more than that. It talks about husbands and wives, parents and children, employees and employers. A lot of times we make the increase, we'll call it. God gives the increase. He gets the credit for the work. In relationships, husbands and wives. Husbands and wives. I work, all you do is stay at home. Uh-oh, be careful of those words, guys or gals. Because I guarantee you there's a lot of work going on at home. Well, I make the money and you just spend it. Be careful, guys. Are they spending it on the groceries they feed you with? Or ladies, vice versa. It goes both ways these days. Parents over your children. I go to work, I slave all day, and all you do is take my money, you spend it, and you go shopping, you just sit around doing nothing, playing games, and blah, 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 talking to your friends all hours of the night. You owe me, child of mine, husband or wife, you owe me. I worked while you went to school and could get that degree to get that better job to do this and that. I make more than you do. You owe me. One plants, one waters. Your employer, do they owe you for your hard work and your commitment? I'm dedicated to them. I gave extra hours every week. I did this, I did that. My gift was a blessing to them. They owe me. I'm taking the stapler. I need a stapler at home. I'm going to take this ream of paper. I need to make some copies for a party I'm having. And I need to send out 100 invitations to people. I'm going to take this ream of paper. Do they owe you? In a sense, we're talking about who owes me. One plants, one waters. Who gets the increase? I'm going to do something that I did before. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to have you guys answer when I'm satisfied. I'll just say, amen, and we'll move on. Okay? And the answer to this is God. So I'm giving you the answer. Who gives the increase?
God.
Who gives the increase?
God.
Amen. Okay, we can move on. Did that in a training class I was at one time, but the guy made it a lot funner than that. I just want to make sure we understand. One waters, one plants. God gives the increase. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We're all just servants. We're all just servants here with whom God can work with. We all have different gifts. If you did not join us Wednesday night for Bible study, we're taking a spiritual gifts test. We took last week. We're finding out what our gifts are. Some of you have never taken it. Some of you have taken it a long time ago. Some of you aren't sure if you still have it. I don't think God takes away that gift. I think He sometimes allows it to be, or you allow it to be dormant, and we have to struggle to get it back. And then some of you have gifts. And as we studied last Wednesday, God says, another question, but I'm going to give you the answer. Use it. God says to do what with it? God says to do what with it? God says, do what with it?
Amen.
Amen. We can move on. God says to use that gift. Some of you guys have gifts and talents, and you are not utilizing them. Now, sometimes they're like the masterpiece in the corner. We've got to pull it out, dust it off, and refresh it. We have to refresh that gift. Verse 10 and 11. Again, verse 9 says, we're just servants. We're servants all doing our part. And we all have our different gifts and talents. Verse 10 and 11 says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let no one take heed how he builds on it. I'm sorry. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Sounds familiar, Adam. Yes, it does. Ephesians 2, you can write it down or you can turn there if you want. But Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God is a cornerstone. God is the foundation for everything we do. We talked after the tornadoes in May about building on a solid foundation. And there's a rocky, a solid foundation, and then there's a sandy foundation. Anyone in here do building, build on foundations? And I'm raising my hand to show you what to do. I am not a builder by any means. But I know you don't want to build a whole lot. You can build a sand castle. You can build a moat with water out of sand. Do not build a house out of sand. Anyone ever watch Hogan's Heroes? I may have told this story before. They built tunnels. So in our teens, we thought that was really cool. And we lived in Albuquerque. A lot of sand there. So as you tunnel in sand, not a good idea. Because the sand on top doesn't stay there. So we built this pretty massive cave in our backyard. It was huge. And it was right next to my brother's window that sat up on the ground. So he could jump out his window and then the ground was right there. And the window was here. But when he was inside, it was this tall. So he'd just hop out the window and hop down the hole that we built. That was great. We were having a great time digging away. My twin brother was down there. My older brother was down there. And I thought, I don't think I like this. So where that hole was, I said, man, I'm standing right under this hole. If something goes wrong, I'm in a safe place. Little did I know, 30 seconds later, the whole thing collapsed. My older brother's two legs were sticking out. kicking like crazy. And that was it. My twin brother, I didn't even notice him at the time. Probably about this much sand on top of my older brother. We started digging like crazy. My parents looked out the window and said, "We're heading out of town. We'll see you later tonight." They had a trip to make, about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. To which I screamed bloody murder. Don't know what I said. Got them down there. My dad, little did he know, jumped out the window, not his second story window, but jumped out that window, jumped right on my twin brother, who he didn't see was underneath the sand there. Somehow my twin brother's head got pushed under a pocket of air underneath the house foundation. So he was buried from here down. My older brother's still kicking his legs, and he stopped. I thought, oh my God, he's died. And I'm digging like crazy. And wet sand doesn't dig too fast and easy. Then he started kicking again. And we started digging. And then he quit kicking. And I can't tell you the feeling of hopelessness you feel when you think, there isn't anything I can do. I'm trying and there's nothing I can do. And we dug and we dug and we found his belt and we figured out where his head should be and we're digging like crazy. And we found his head and found his hair and we just grabbed his hair and pulled it up as hard as we could, like you're ripping hair out. And when we pulled on that belt, you just heard him go and breathe again. He'd stop breathing. But luckily, by the grace of God, he was okay. My sister had been informed to call 911 by that time. And then we got my twin brother out. And lo and behold, everyone is okay today. My point to that is you can't build on a sandy foundation. And when we try and build things, and we try and build our life on ourselves, on our talents, on our knowledge, we don't understand. God gave all that stuff to us. God gave us the gifts to get our job and to have what we have. But when we don't recognize that, we build that foundation on ourselves. Jesus Christ has to be the foundation with which we build our lives on. Everything else is placed on top of that. Everything else. We think we can build on the sandy foundation. I guarantee it may last for a while, but it'll eventually collapse. And you'll be in trouble. Verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Adam, we're building on a foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. We're building on that. We've got that in our life. Here's the cornerstone. Okay? Now it's time to look at what? The building material. The building material that we're using. Our building material basically is talking about our good works. Our service to Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we may do good works, but it's self-serving and self-centered. We're doing good works, but it's really about us. Those things, those will be burned in the fire. God knows the difference. We're not fooling Him. But it becomes evident on the day of judgment that the book of Revelation talks about. Psalm 118:22 says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." The stone which the builders rejected. We are the builders. They rejected and threw that and discarded that stone away. But God had a different plan. And that stone is now the most significant stone to each one of us. Three things to take out of this: building blocks. Building blocks are laid on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a cornerstone. Second thing is, building blocks should be solid, referring to our quality of work and our motives for doing that work. Those things that are burned up, that talks about our quality and our motives behind that work. And then building blocks simply are laid by servants allowing themselves to be utilized by God. Who gives the increase? Oh. Who gives the increase? Amen. All right. In closing, I just want to close with this brief thing. And I believe we've heard it before in here. Three bricklayers. Each have a job. And they go, and they're all bricklayers. Somebody says, "What are you doing?" The guy said, "I'm laying bricks." Walks up to the second group, says, "What are you doing?" "I'm building a wall." Walks up to the third group, says, "What are you guys doing?" "I am building a cathedral." Know what you're doing with those gifts and talents that God has given you. What are you building? Are you just building, just laying a path that goes to I don't know where? Are you showing up here Wednesdays and Sundays and going, "Hey, I'm showing up"? What are you doing? "I'm just laying brick, man. I'm just laying brick." Or are you coming here saying, "Ah, I'm building a wall. I come Sundays, I come Wednesday, I'm building a wall." Kind of have a plan, but you're just building a wall. Not really stopping point and ending point. Are you the third group that says, "Man, I'm coming on Sundays and Wednesdays"? Why? Because, man, I am building a cathedral. I'm coming with an intentional plan to do something in this church body, to do something in my life, to affect those on the outside of these walls. I have an intentional plan, and I'm going to build a cathedral. With my spiritual gifts and talents that God has given me, I understand it's not about me. It's not about who came before me, although we thank God for those that have come before us to pave a path for us. This is about God giving the increase. It's about us coming ready for an intentional activity or action or plan to take place. Don't worry about who's planting and who's watering. It's important that we have someone planting and watering. But we can't get hung up on who made something grow. God gives the increase. God makes it grow. God makes it happen. Today, all I want us to do is think about the things we talked about, the building blocks in our life. What are we using? What material are we using? And how are we using those? Has God given us gifts and talents that we're not utilizing? Are we utilizing those so-so? Do we have an intentional plan to make those things happen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again today for allowing us to come freely during praise and worship, Lord, to get acquainted with you, to welcome you in this place, to welcome you into this assembly of believers. God, help us to understand our responsibility to you, to the church, to each other. Help us utilize these gifts and these talents that you've given us to further your kingdom, God, that we don't take credit for any of that, that we don't boast on ourselves, but that we boast in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, help us recognize your wondrous works throughout the week. Help remind us that we're all masterpieces. That we are and those around us are. Help change our behavior towards one another. Help change our attitude towards one another. Help us to show up with an intentional purpose each and every week to do good for your kingdom, to further your kingdom through our actions, through our words. Let us reflect your love. Allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with this week. And help us to love one another in a deeper, closer way. Loving each other, loving ourselves, loving our neighbor and our enemies. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.